Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around a while tonight. See if you can retain your sanity. As you know from the program last night and the vote in the Senate yesterday, Big Brother Bush wants access to your phone calls. And if you would like to resist that, well, then you hate America and welcome another terrorist attack. If you can't listen to your phone calls, then Al-Qaeda plots will go unnoticed, kind of like they did before 9/11 when he ordered the CIA to leave him alone on his ranch. All right, boy, you covered your ass. Thanks. Bye. Never mind the fact that it's probably a given, although the Rove Bush crime family want us to believe otherwise, that not a single terrorist plot has been discovered from illegally tapping our phone calls. He still wants to do it anyway. To the paranoid pinhead, it looks like we're all terrorist subjects, doesn't it? So that's an excruciatingly painful story, chapter in American history. And it was signed into law today. Was it today it was signed into law? Or was the $600 giveaway signed into law? The giveaway was signed into law. He gave a little speech this morning. We'll have a couple of cuts from the speech that he gave this morning about how he really appreciates the bipartisan effort by the drones in the Congress that are Republicans and the turncoats that are Democrats in getting this legislation passed in the Senate yesterday. Now, also, talking about our boy Bush, I watched network news again tonight. I watched NBC and ABC. The first 8 minutes on NBC was all about the drug sports baseball hearing, the Henry Waxman hearing. It looked like an absolute three-ring clownish circus, didn't it? ABC, the first 6 minutes, was all about the sports drug hearing, Henry Waxman committee lying. You did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. And every single representative on that committee, from the terminally putrid Dan Burton from Indiana, Jesus God, I didn't realize he was still in Congress. He of the family that smuggles drugs and goes after Bill Clinton There they were. I had no idea Dan Burton was still alive. I thought the rats got him a couple of years ago and ate him alive when he was rummaging through a dumpster looking for a pair of Hillary Clinton's used panties or something. But there he was, Dan Burton, and all the rest of them. Democrats and Republicans, turncoats and scum, just giving old Billy Hill to these... this baseball player and his nine attorneys and the trainer who claims he injected the baseball player with drugs. The U.S. economy is faltering. Family debt is on the rise. What else is going on here in Bush's America? There's an occupation. There's a war. Between 4 and 5 million Iraqis are either dead or alive, thanks to our imperialism. And they're talking baseball and drugs. Does anybody in America still give a damn? Is there a sport left that isn't corrupted with whatever it takes to break a record or move a half second off the record time or win a pennant or get the extra field goal or whatever the hell it is? Is there a sport left? Oh, come on, please. Professional sports in this country went over the edge, what, a decade ago? 2 decades ago? Who cares anymore? Do you care? I think the only people who care about these... Roger Clement hearings and all this other crap and the Mitchell report and the Mitchell report. Senator George Mitchell was a Senate, no, a representative? I don't even know. I don't even care. But an ex-congressperson How long was it? A year? 2 years? The study? Names? Oh, my God. How does this affect any of our lives? Is there a teenager out there who plays on a sports team who doesn't understand that the game is rigged and has been probably during the teenager's entire life? Is that a bad thing that the kid realizes that? Yeah, it's a bad thing. But are there teenagers out there who still believe that they're going to break into the NBA or the NFL or MLB and you know, become famous and make millions? Yeah, I guess there are. So what are these kids, what do they think? What do they think when they see a hearing like this? What do they think when the story broke as it broke months and months and months ago? What do they think when they see these beefed up android-looking human beings in baseball knocking ball after ball after ball over the fence? Do the kids sit there and go, gosh, he must have worked out this winter. Boy, he sure does have muscles.
Why not just use robots? Why not just have cyborgs out there?
We're getting close to that. So, I digress. Any of you who've listened to this program long enough know that I detest professional sports. I really do, because they have been so just bastardized and turned into some kind of I don't know. It reminds me of the movie Gladiator. You know, isn't that about all it is? And don't get me started on NASCAR. Oh, Jesus, glorified Christ, don't even get me started on that. In the meantime, the Bush administration has come up, of course, with a wonderful plan. They've done this several times. Here's the latest example with the U.S. economy faltering, as I mentioned, family debt on the rise, benefits are disappearing, the deficit is skyrocketing, mortgage crisis has worsened, now it's not just subprimes. Conservatives have attempted to deflect attention from the crisis by blaming the media's negative coverage and insisting, the conservatives insist, U.S. is not headed toward a recession. Well, they're right there. We're in it. Doesn't make any difference what those communist economists are predicting. They're liberals. Doesn't mean anything. We're fine. As ThinkProgress.org reports, the Bush administration's latest move is simply hide the data. Forbes magazine had awarded one of the websites, economicindicators.gov, an award for being one of its, quote, best of the web, end quote, sites. And they got a best of the web award, economicindicators.gov. Forbes, the business magazine, awarded them. Forbes explained that the government site provides an invaluable service to the public for assessing U.S. economic data. Guess what? Yeah, you're way ahead of me. The Bush crime family has decided to shut down the site effective March 1st because of, are you ready?
Budgetary constraints. We can't afford to keep the site up anymore.
Forbes said the site is maintained by the Economics and Statistics Administration and combines data collected by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, like the gross domestic product and net imports and exports, and the Census Bureau, like retail sales and durable goods shipments. The site simply links to the relevant department's website. This might not seem like a big deal, but doing it yourself, say trying to find retail sales data on the Census Bureau site, is such an exercise in futility that it will convince you why this portal is necessary, economicindicators.gov, because the information is there. The Bush crime family says, oops, close the door. So March 1st, bye-bye. Now, this is all very interesting since... The irony abounds, of course, that the Economic and Statistics Administration is facing budgetary constraints? Really? Considering that Bush recently submitted a record $3.1 trillion budget to Congress for fiscal year 2009. But the website has to come down.
Still not sleepy, tried to trick myself.
So, for some reason, there was an abundance of emails today. Just a couple of them here very quickly. And then I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight. We are going to open up the phone lines, as they say, and take a lot of calls tonight. Because so much has happened in such a short period of time here in the past several days. And I have been remiss in not taking more calls. So we're going to do that tonight. The number here is 800-989-1480. So if you want to get online to discuss some of these things, whether it is Obama or Clinton or the Telecom Act or the cowardly Democrats or the corrupt Republicans, whatever it is you want to discuss. Susan in Seattle wrote, "Mike, I can't stand it anymore. This morning on all five so-called cable news channels, you find the Roger Clemens steroid trial. While on C-SPAN, they're holding the torture hearings. These puppets of the media corporations have just proofed to me that they're in bed together. Just like in Orwell's 1984, Real News is buried. And now to get C-SPAN 2, you have to pay for it and get Comcast on demand in the deal." Yeah, there's no justice, Susan. Art from Manhattan writes, "Mike, lately I've been trying to wean myself off C-SPAN. Spending too much time watching the congressional circus can leave one with an overwhelming sense of sadness and dread. But today, I am free of all that, thanks to Representative Waxman and his committee. Currently, between 4 and 5 million Iraqis are either dead or in exile, thanks to our oil imperialism. The war may go on forever, thanks to Grandpa McCain. The economy is going down in flames, thanks to Bush policies, and impeachment is off the table, thanks to the Reid, Pelosi, Vichy branch of the Democratic Party. And today, dressed up in their very best Perry Mason finery, members of Waxman's committee sought to get an answer to that most important and burning question: which injection caused the abscess on Roger Clemens' ass? Thanks, guys. Now I can quit watching. I don't need your poison in my system anymore. All the best, Mike. Art in Manhattan." Yeah. This is from Jay in Ohio. "Mr. Malloy, glad to be a Nova subscriber. I talk to people overseas frequently in connection with my work. I guess that's going to have to cease soon. Damned if I'm going to talk to someone that the government, our government, considers for whatever reason has terrorist ties with whatever definition they have at that time of who or what a terrorist is. And then here I am, with the government, our government, doing the unimaginable to one of its citizens. I'm used to betrayal by the Republican legislatures. We all are. But one-third of the Democratic Senate? What do you think is the real reason why they want to strip the Fourth Amendment rights while simultaneously forgiving again crimes by the Bush administration? P.S. Thanks for having Sam Cedar sit in at times. Jay." Well, oddly enough, Jay, I have an answer, I think, to your email from another emailer, from Alan, who writes, "Mike, I listened to a Glenn Greenwald interview on antiwar.com about how much of a myth it is that the Democrats in the House and Senate are so afraid of Bush that they vote to give him anything he wants. Greenwald states that deep down the Democrats are fine with everything that's going on and see all the power that the executive office has. The Democrats are hoping that if they occupy the White House, they can continue what is going on now. What is your take on this?" Well, Alan, my take is this. I doubt seriously that a President Hillary Clinton or a President Barack Obama will, during their first week or day or month or term in office, seek to reverse all the damage to the U.S. Constitution that the Bush crime family has affected. I just don't see that happening. Do you? Do we see a President Obama or a President Clinton calling a meeting of constitutional scholars and the leaders of the House and the Senate and the representatives from the Supreme Court and everybody sitting down around a huge table and the CEO of the United States government, this newly minted Democratic president, saying, "Okay, guys, we have to figure out a way to do this swiftly, legally, and with the least amount of further damage to what this son of a bitch that sat here for 8 months prior to my arrival has done. So, we're open for suggestions. Now, I can't think of any other way that it would happen if it were to happen. So my question to you, gentle emailer, is do you think that's going to happen? When, and I ask this question looking for an honest God answer, not in any ironic sense, when has the leadership of a country, whether it be a dictatorship, a parliamentary system, a system such as ours, whatever, when has an elected or appointed or a leader that comes in by virtue of a coup ever said, okay, let me undo all the damage that's been done to our fragile constitution. I'm putting this back. I'm putting that back. I'm going to restore that. I'm going to undo that. Has that ever happened? I don't think so. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Thing, 25 before the hour. Oh yeah, in case you missed it, the Senate Ethics Committee issued a letter of admonition to Senator Larry Craig today in connection with his arrest in that Minneapolis airport sex thing last year. In the letter, the committee accused, this is so funny, the letter accused Larry Craig of improper conduct, and his actions reflected discreditably, that was in the admonition, discreditably on the Senate. Larry Craig in an airport, John, is what? Somehow worse than what happened in that august body yesterday? And I don't mean his body, I mean the Senate. You're kidding me. Voting yesterday to strip privacy from not just the American public, but the Constitution. And Larry Craig reflects discreditably on the Senate? Craig answered. He said, "Well, I'm disappointed and strongly disagree with the conclusions reached by the Senate Ethics Committee. From the outset, I've encouraged the committee to act in a timely fashion, and they have done so. I will continue to serve the people of Idaho." You remember Larry Craig, don't you? So that was one other thing. Can you imagine a hearing like the one that was conducted today over, you know, who stuck what into what a professional ball player to give him some kind of a rush or build up his muscle? Can you imagine that kind of a hearing over the lies told by Dick Cheney and George Bush and who else? Oh, my God, who else? Name me one person in this filthy administration who has not lied. Can you imagine screaming at Condoleezza Rice? Can you imagine screaming at Alberto Gonzalez or Mr. Mukasey or any of these other thugs and Nazis and Soviet thug types? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Dan Burton, who I sincerely thought was dead, a representative from Indiana screaming at, Donald Rumsfeld about decisions made to murder hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq for no reason at all? Wait, let me remember. Oh, that's right. No, Dan Burton supported the wholesale slaughter of men, women, and children in Iraq. But doesn't he get pissed off when some attorney tries to convince him that Roger Clemens really didn't shove a needle in his ass. Oh, that really gets my dander up. I'm from Indiana. Don't sit there and lie to me, boy. Or I'll dump a bottle of hair dye all over you. Here, let me reach you my dad. Here it is. You want me to dump this all over your ass? I'm Dan Burton. I can't get it out of my head. I'm sorry, truth seekers. I can't. I studiously avoided it today. It was colder than a well digger's ass here in Atlanta today. I went for a walk this afternoon, and the wind chill was like, what, Kathy, 17? Just to get away from this crap. And I had just built a fire in the fireplace. And Kathy and the kid were off somewhere, and I thought to myself, oh, damn, I'm going to sit here with the New York Times and catch a little a CNN or MSNBC, what kind of garbage is going on. And I turned it on, and Jesus, God, it drove me out of my own house. I've never seen such righteous indignation. I've never seen such arm flailing. I've never seen such choking rhetoric as that which came from the righteous members of the House excuse me, Government Oversight Committee today, huh? But I digress. This is from Steve-O. He writes, I think I've been invaded by a body snatcher. Just like in the old sci-fi flick during the night while I slept, an Obamaton must have snuck into my house and placed an Obamaton replica where a Clintonista once lay. Or maybe I've just seen the light. Seriously, if I'm anything, I'm a realist, a pragmatist. I've come to see that Barack Obama will be the Democratic nominee and that Barack Obama holds the best chance for Democrats of retaking the White House. I fought this inclination for a very long time. I can no longer fight it. What finally did it for me? The latest election results tonight. Obviously, he wrote this last night. As much as I hate to admit I was wrong, Barack Obama is indeed the future. He has gained broad appeal in every demographic, and recent polls indicate that he would beat McCain by a wider margin than Hillary would. And for me, that's what is most important, beating John McCain. A McCain victory would mean a third Bush term. If you thought Bush was a horrible disaster, just wait till John McCain gets his grubby little hands on your America. It would mean endless years of endless war, endless casualties, endless national debt, endless pain, misery, and grief. A McCain victory would mean more erosion of our civil liberties and personal privacy. A McCain victory would mean a continued erosion of our standing in the world. In short, it would mean that America will cease to exist. At least the America we know and love. The way I see it, the stakes could not be higher. This might be our last chance at saving the country. So, if my first candidate isn't to be the Democratic nominee, it's more important to me that a good Democrat win. Barack seems to breach all lines, party lines, racial lines, gender lines, age lines. My sincere hope is that he can fulfill all of his promises. I'm not looking for a savior. Though saving we need. I'm not looking for a defender, though defender we need. I'm not looking for a protector, though this country does need protecting. I'm looking for a leader. And I pray Barack Obama is that leader! Steve-O. Jesus, this reads like a song, Steve-O. I mean, set this to music, man, really. And Chris in Minnesota writes, anyone that reads the article by Barack Obama in Foreign Affairs should pay special attention to where he writes about Israel and how we have to help Israel figure out who they should and shouldn't be dealing with. Pay attention also to where he mentions Hezbollah and Hamas. And finally, please, whatever you do, read the following passage. Here it is, quote, from Barack Obama. Today we are again called to provide visionary leadership. This century's threats are at least as dangerous as, and in some ways more complex than those we have confronted in the past. They come from weapons that can kill on a mass scale and from global terrorists who respond to alienation or perceived injustice with murderous nihilism, end quote. Why, Chris writes, is it perceived injustice when the U.S. or Israel attack and kill, embargo, or starve innocent people, but when the terrorists do it, it's called murderous nihilism? And please tell me, what's the difference between what Barack Obama says and what the moron now in the White House says. The Israeli government, once again, as per usual, has invaded another country to assassinate someone simply because they know they can get away with it. These are, and forever shall be, our allies. And when Hezbollah retaliates, and they will, watch as the Israeli government goes bonkers and attempts to say that they've been attacked unfairly and for nothing. Watch as the U.S. agrees with them, and watch as the candidates, however many are left, mouth the promise of wiping out groups such as Hezbollah. Yeah, I know. It's just an unmitigated pain in the butt, isn't it? Speaking of chuckle nuts, he realizes, or thinks he realizes, or realizes he thinks, that he can still scare Americans into accepting his fascist legislation. Now that this rubber stamp Congress, especially the filthy Democrat enablers, have approved different versions of his constitution-eroding FISA modernization bill, as the Bush crime family puts it, Mensa man wants Congress to hurry up and agree on his version of the bill so he can order telecom companies to continue to spy on our phone calls with complete immunity. Listen to these tired, old scare tactics.
At this moment, somewhere in the world, terrorists are planning new attacks on our country. Their goal is to bring destruction to our shores that will make September the 11th pale by comparison. To carry out their plans, they must communicate with each other. They must recruit operatives. And they must share information. The lives of countless Americans depend on our ability to monitor these communications. Our intelligence professionals must be able to find out who the terrorists are talking to, what they are saying, and what they're planning.
Was written in 1978. We're having a discussion in 2006. It's a different world.
Yeah, history so long ago doesn't count. 1978. Well, he's kind of right regarding the chance of a power reversal if the Democrats, or when the Democrats, all right, if the Democrats provide a candidate, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, who becomes the next president. Like I said, if you can imagine a huge meeting between responsible leaders of all three branches of government to try to undo the damage, then you still haven't broken your LSD habit, because that's just not going to happen. But Bob disagrees. He writes, Mike, Obama or Clinton will take swift steps to restore the wreckage of the Bush regime. They will. Remember after the Kennedy assassination, the leaders of the coup were quickly rounded up and put on trial? And remember after the Bill Clinton administration came into office, he immediately put together a bipartisan panel to get to the bottom of the Iran-Contra and the SNL scandals? Remember? If these events slipped your mind, be sure to resubscribe to transdimensionalnews.com. It always perks up my day when I read about life in alternative universes. Yeah, I guess my subscription ran out because, honest to God, don't remember that. Oh, no. And Kurt in Minneapolis, regarding Larry Craig, he said, what's this about Larry Craig? Mikey was just doing what the Senate does as a matter of course. That is, he was just trying to screw some anonymous stranger while nobody was looking. Duh. What's wrong with me? I thought Larry Craig performed admirably. I give him an A for effort. But I got to say, he ultimately failed the test. Maybe that's what the Senate's admonition means. They're ashamed that he got caught trying to screw somebody without anybody noticing. Tell me if I'm wrong. Kurt in Minneapolis. Well, Larry Craig brought, what was the word, Kathy? Non-desirability? No, what was the word? Nastiography? What was the word in the admonition? Bush had a couple more things to say today. He further justified his desire to grant immunity to the big telecom companies from all those pesky citizens who, you know, are very suspect because they actually believe they have some kind of right to privacy or something. Yeah, so he kept rambling.
I'm pleased that last night senators approved new legislation that will ensure our intelligence professionals have the tools they need to make us safer. And they did so by a wide bipartisan majority. The Senate bill also provides fair and just liability protections for companies that did the right thing and assisted in defending America after the attacks of September the 11th.
Yes, by God!
In order to be able to discover the enemy's plans.
Yeah.
We need the cooperation of telecommunication companies.
That's simple enough.
If these companies are subjected to lawsuits.
Yeah.
That could cost them billions of dollars.
Yeah, what?
They won't participate. They won't help us. They won't help protect America.
Oh, Jesus! Really? Well, what does that tell you, what Mr. Chucklenuts just said? That the telecoms know they're being ordered to engage in criminal behavior, and they won't help the Bush crime family illegally spy on innocent citizens in violation of the Constitution. Unless you, Mr. President, guarantee they won't be prosecuted. Wow. Okay, well, who's next? The Senate bill provides fair and just liability protection for companies that did the right thing and assisted in defending America after the attacks on September the 11th. Who else did that besides the telecom companies? Well, I guess the oil companies did because they, against all odds, kept the flow of oil coming and gasoline readily available, even though they've tripled the price. But never mind. So the oil companies, they deserve a medal, too, along with the telecoms. Who else? The coal companies are blowing off as many mountaintops, literally, as they possibly can to get at the coal so that we can once and forever be free of Middle Eastern oil. Of course, the oil companies don't think that's ever going to happen. Who else? The private contractors that have gone overseas to kill the murderous terrorists who tried to kill us. They deserve all this protection. There's no reason that anybody in Blackwater or Dyncorp, any of these companies, should ever be brought up on charges just because they happen to murder people. Women, children, look, it's just like Vietnam. You never knew when one of those gooks was going to show up with some kind of explosive device in his hot little hand. You know, show me a 3-year-old who's wandering the streets of Baghdad with a smile on his face, and I'll show you a 3-year-old with an explosive vest on. Who's just been given a lollipop and told to go visit the police station. Let's give them all immunity! Who else needs immunity? Anybody? Oh, yeah! Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and Halliburton, all those construction companies who have stood between us and an absolute tidal flow of terrorists coming over here disguised as bricklayers and electricians and stone cutters and masons and tile layers and roofers. Thank God we have companies like Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and Halliburton. And some slimy rat bastard liberal is going to want to bring them up on charges for raping people. Oh, my God. Rape? Get real. It's a war zone. It's a war zone. We're a country of war. You try these people on rape charges and the terrorists win. What's wrong with you people? I'm pleased that last night senators approved new legislation that will ensure our intelligence professionals have the tools they need to make us safer. That they'll help protect America. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. About 6 and a half past the hour. Last one from Big Brother Bush for the evening. Last bit of fear-mongering to seal the deal on the Protect America. The Protect America Act. Protect America. Let us have access to all of your personal records. Your banking, your bill paying, your telephone calls, your emails, your letters, your mind. If the House fails to let him eavesdrop on our phone calls, and remember, it's only the Senate who's agreed to it so far. The House does not have, in its version of the bill, a telecom criminal exemption part. Got to have that. So if the House fails to let him eavesdrop on our phone calls, then we, truth seekers, are going to face a terrorist attack of such monumental proportions. It will make 9/11 look like a day at Disney World.
I will not accept any temporary extension. House members, I've had plenty of time to pass a good bill. They have already been given a two-week extension beyond the deadline they set for themselves.
The bastards.
If Republicans and Democrats in the Senate can come together on a good piece of legislation, there's no reason why Republicans and Democrats in the House cannot pass the Senate bill immediately.
You bastards.
The House's failure to pass the bipartisan Senate bill would jeopardize the security of our citizens.
Oh.
Without this law, our ability to prevent new attacks will be weakened. And it will become harder for us to uncover terrorist plots. We must not allow this to happen.
It will become harder for us to uncover terrorist plots. We must not allow this to happen. It will be harder to uncover terrorist plots if the telecoms are not granted complete immunity from prosecution for their criminal acts. All right, let me think. The terrorists, if the telecoms don't... my brain just broke. Chuckle nuts. How many terrorist plots have been uncovered from your spying on millions of phone calls so far? What? What's that I hear? Crickets.
And Chuckle Nuts, tell me again why they can't apply the existing FISA laws that are already there and just get warrants when there's really a suspicion of terrorism and you don't have to wait, you dumb bastard. You can get them immediately and then go back into the FISA court later and show them the proof of your needing them to begin with. Ah, you scum-sucking bastard. Oh, I hate this man. Oh, give me strength, God. I hate him. I hate him. Ah. Or, on the other hand, is every single American really a suspect to these paranoid, power-mad lunatics that now run the United States, the corporate states of America? No, don't answer. I know the answer. Unbelievable.
What makes my brain break? I'm confused because I thought Mitt Romney took care of this terrorism thing like 10 days ago when he...
What did he do?
Well, he resigned from the race.
Oh, that's right.
And he said that that was going to keep us...
The terrorists from attacking.
The terrorists from winning.
That's right. From
because,
winning. Yeah.
Right. So I thought Romney cleared all this up. There would be no more terrorism because...
Oh,
he,
you silly girl.
I'm just...
Think that because you're a girl.
I guess I believe Mittens. I thought Willard was telling the truth.
You were taken by his wonderful teeth and his nice hair.
His fancy follicles.
And his chiseled features. Oh, you're such a girl. Well, let me tell you what, baby. The terrorists are still out there. Oh, sons of bitches are all over the place. And if you don't release your phone records, and if you don't accept the phone companies from liability or culpability in their criminal acts, this boat ride is over. I'm telling you that right now. Boom. Right in the midships. Boom. Great big torpedoes are coming. You understand me? Quit being a girl and talking about Mitt Romney. So, what Bush is saying is the Democrats in the House better get their act together very quickly and restore the telecom immunity. Let's see. Who is he addressing? Representative Leonard Boswell, Democrat of Iowa. He got $5,000 from AT&T. Representative Marion Barry, Democrat of Arkansas. He got $11,300 from Telephone Utilities. Representative Mike Ross, Democrat of Arkansas. He got $3,000 from Telephone Utilities and $3,000 from Telecom Services. Representative Earl Pomeroy, Democrat of North Dakota, he got $2,000 from Telephone Utilities. Representative Robert E. Kramer, Democrat of Alabama, AT&T gave him $4,000. Melissa Bean, Democrat of Illinois, $6,000 from AT&T and $5,800 from Telecom Services. Representative Heath Shuler, Democrat of North Carolina, got $4,000 from AT&T. Representative John Barrow, Democrat of Georgia, got $6,000 from Telephone Utilities and $1,000 from Telecom Services. Representative Alan Boyd, Democrat of Florida, $6,000 from Telephone Utilities. Representative Joe Baca, Democrat of California, $9,100 from Telephone Utilities and $1,000 from Telecom Services. Representative Dan Boren, Democrat of Oklahoma, $3,000 from Telephone Utilities. Representative John Tanner, Democrat of Tennessee, $9,300 from Telephone Utilities and $3,000 from Telecom Services. Representative Jim Matheson, Democrat of Utah, $5,500 from Telephone Utilities and $6,000 from Telecom Services. Jim Cooper, Democrat of Tennessee, $5,386 from Telecom Services. Representative Lincoln Davis, Democrat of Tennessee, Telecom Utilities paid him $4,500. Representative Brad Ellsworth, Democrat of Indiana, $10,500 from Telephone Utilities. Tim Holden, Democrat of Pennsylvania, $2,000 from AT&T. Charlie Melancon, Democrat of Louisiana, $8,000 from Telephone Utilities and $3,000 from Telecom Services. Oh, there's more here, but Jesus, I'm out of breath. In total, the telecom industry paid $134,502 to these 21 Democratic congressmen in the 2008 cycle alone. And keep in mind, it's early in the cycle, and these numbers are likely to grow, and the congressmen who've been in the House more than one term have received even more money than this. So here's the question. Will these Democrats take their telecom money and work with Republicans to give the big telecoms retroactive immunity? Or will they stand up for the rule of law and vote with the other Democrats for legislation that doesn't include immunity? You got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. You're right. They're going to vote with the Republicans and grant the telecoms immunity. Are you kidding me? This is money. Thanks to Cindy for sending this to me. It's a blog by Matt Browner Hamlin called Hold Fast. If you want this list, don't email me and ask me for it. Go to holdfastblog.com. Holdfastblog.com. Yeah, so they have a choice, all these Democrats. No, I don't talk about Republicans because Republicans are scum. You know the Republican has one hand on his wallet and the other hand out. Gimme. Gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. You know that. It just still, and I'll get over it. I'll get over it. And so will you, gentle Democrat. You're going to get over it too. But I'll tell you what, it still hurts. It still hurts to know that my Democratic Party is populated by thugs, liars, cowards, cheats, and sneaks. You know what I'm saying?
Started moving in it on a Tuesday at 2, was singing do lolly lolly shaky do shaky do. Wednesday at 3, I called the phone company singing, hey baby, put a phone in for me. Thursday at 4, he came a knocking at my door singing, hey baby, I'm your telephone man. You just show me where you want it and I'll put it where I can. I can put it in the bedroom, I can put it in the hall. On the wall, you can have it with the buzz, you can have it with the ring, and if you really want it, you can have a ding-a-ling, because hey baby, I'm your telephone man.
Can you believe that? And then he says,
no, when other fellas call you, tell them how it all began.
I love it. 22 past the hour. I don't know why, but that's Terry Wilson? Mary Wilson. M-E-R-I. Mary Wilson. Who sadly was killed in a car wreck here in Georgia about 2 years ago.
In 2002.
2002, about five.
And I just found this out, and she was my high school music teacher.
She's got a great voice. I love it. And she looks kind of like an elf or a fairy, doesn't she? Speaking of, I've just got to do this. I don't know why, but something is prompting me to do this. You know, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Our house is invaded by fairies. It really is. Molly, our 3.5-year-old, has a little collection now of, and they're not made in China. They're little plastoid fairies. I don't know. They're about the size of your thumb. And she has this whole family of fairies. Oh my God. She goes to bed with him. She takes a bath with him. They follow her to the breakfast table. It's unbelievable. And the fairywoodland.com sent, some time ago, a couple years ago, Bridget sent me a fairy house, a real one. And, you know, I mentioned their website a couple of times, fairywoodland.com, just for the hell of it, because I happen to enjoy fantasy an awful lot, especially the wee folk, you know, fairies and elves and gnomes and dwarves. And it's hard not to. I always have, but it's hard not to when you have a 3.5-year-old little girl who just loves this kind of stuff. And so anyway, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and this all kind of ties together. If you haven't gotten anything yet for your sweetie, go to just stop by fairywoodland.com. They've got a good idea there. There's you can get a fairy gift certificate, a little special Valentine. Check it out, fairywoodland.com, and just look down there on the left, and you'll see it. And guaranteed by tomorrow evening to be on your computer, the gift certificate that you can then give to your print it off and give it to your sweetie. And redeem it anytime you want to. But we are absolutely taken over by fairies. It's unbelievable. When did Molly start liking fairies?
When she was conceived.
Oh, is that when? Well, I promised phone calls. And I guess I have to deliver on that, don't I? So let's do it. Let's start with Walter, who's calling in from Virginia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Walter.
Okay. I want to talk to you about this crab cake primary we had in Virginia yesterday.
What did you call it, the crab cake primary?
Yeah, crab cake primary.
I like that.
I don't know whether the west of the United States knows it or not, but here in Virginia, yesterday all you had to do was walk in the polling place and they asked you, are you Democrat or Republican? So you say one or the other, and you go over and Democrat side or whatever, and you vote.
Right.
Now, I haven't heard a thing about it, but I say about 80,000 Republicans yesterday voted for Mama Obama.
For who?
I'm serious.
For who?
For Obama.
Oh, I thought you said Rama Obama.
Oh, well, what do you want to call him anyway?
Yeah.
But they voted for him.
Yeah.
So, actually, if those 80,000 some odd people hadn't voted for Obama, Hillary would have won.
Yeah? Now, how do you know it was 80,000?
Well, that's what the guy won by, wasn't it?
Oh, so all of those votes that Obama won by, those were Republicans?
Absolutely.
Ah.
And I know people that did that.
Yeah? You know 80,000 people?
At least. Hell yes. they for one reason or another, they don't want Hillary to be the Democratic
Who do you want?
Oh, I want Hillary.
You want Hillary?
I certainly do.
You think she would be a better president than...
Oh, no doubt in my mind. She got them all beat. And if she has a problem, all she got to do is turn around and look at Bill.
Now, wait a minute.
I tell you, I love Bill Clinton. I don't care what anybody says about him.
Yeah, he is a rascal, isn't he?
He is a rascal, but he is good. He is a good-looking man. These women go crazy over him. I can't blame him a bit.
I hear what you say.
But I haven't heard anybody talk about that, though. I mean, no sincere. And
yeah.
That's what happened.
Well, Walter, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put the crack Malloy Show detectives on this and see if we can track some of these Republicans down. Thanks, Walter. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll be back in a minute. True Seeker, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hey, lolly, lolly, get it any way you can, right? So, I got it in the bedroom, and I got it in the hall, and I got it in the bedroom, and you hung it on the wall. I got it with the buzz, and I got it with the ring, and when you told me what my number was, I got a ding-a-ling, a singing, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, hey, lolly, lolly, just doing my thing.
Hey, True Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
It is 26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here on the Nova M Radio Network, the Malloy program. If you are just joining us, Kathy is calling from 92.1, the mic. Or no, she's not calling from there. She's calling from Madison, Wisconsin, but you're listening on the mic, right?
Yes.
Oh, good. I knew I'd get it right if I swung at it enough times. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
You know, earlier you said that there's a lot of things that have been going on, and that is what compelled you to take some calls.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to comment on a couple, three of the many things that are going on.
Let her rip.
Well, you know, the Roger Clemens thing.
Yeah.
We have to have a current distraction. I mean, give me a break. If we're not distracted, we're paying too much attention, right?
Yeah.
So we have to have that. And, you know, we have to have this ability for the government to listen in on our phone conversations, because for Christ's sakes, how else are they going to know which innocent citizens that were just simply expressing opinions need to be rounded up at a later date?
Sure.
And put in one of our many concentration camps.
Well, that's why they need the telecom bill.
Yes, yes. Without that, you know, they're not going to know to round me up and put me in a concentration camp. So, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, the little soundbite that you played about the somewhere in the world terrorists are plotting.
Yeah. Doesn't that scare you?
Well, yeah, it kind of does, but we have to throw back a little bit to a comment that you had made not too terribly long ago about the terrorist is in the White House.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm literally more afraid, much more afraid of this government, and that's not the way it should be, than I am of terrorists. Look, I grew up with the Soviet Union having targeted every city in America over 500 population, so we were told, with nuclear bombs and instant death and destruction and fireballs and nuclear hell and my lungs being sucked out of my body. And, you know, I grew up with that. So I'm going to be afraid of a couple of Islamist freaks who are wandering around in caves in Afghanistan working computers? I'm going to be afraid of them?
Oh, mightily afraid.
And how did we, during the Cold War, avoid a nuclear attack without illegally wiretapping the citizens of the United States? How did that happen?
Mm-hmm. You go home.
I don't know.
Well, you know what really scares me here is that this joker has been given carte blanche in the event of a calamity. Pick your calamity.
Yeah.
To suspend the Constitution.
Right.
Declare martial law.
Right.
Cancel the elections. So going back to that soundbite and the belief that the terrorist is in the White House, I have to wonder if the language used in that soundbite wasn't a clue to those who know what is the threat. Is the threat here of yet another false flag? Think back to September 11.
Yeah.
Now is that a clue?
Now look, you're making me more paranoid, Kathy, than I was when I took your phone call.
I'm sorry.
The truth is, we do need to monitor every single conversation in the entire world, because the terrorists are out there somewhere in the world, as Bush says.
Sure.
You know, I'm thinking, what about the ones in Europe? What about all the different European governments? Are they wiretapping too? How are we going to stop the terrorists who live in Europe or Asia? Or worse, how about Nicaragua? You know, Daniel Ortega is now the president of Nicaragua. Remember, back in the 80s, we did everything short of invading his country to get him overthrown. And now he's the president. What about the terrorists in Nicaragua? Where does it stop?
I have to wonder, where does it start?
Well,
I have a very difficult time wrapping my brain around the fact that there's as much terrorism as they say, if any. You know, they proclaim that we need to have safer skies to save us from terrorists. Mm-hmm. Nothing has happened since this supposed 9/11 attack. Yeah, I guess I'm making it pretty clear that I don't believe it in
well,
that.
Well, Kathy, there, I'll tell you why you can relax. I'll tell you why you can relax here. As soon as Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama is elected president, he or she will immediately end all this madness, will immediately restore the Constitution, will immediately make these corporations and their corporate officers responsible for criminal activity. So we don't have anything to worry about here. Kathy, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. It's all going to come to a wonderful conclusion. Everything is going to go from black and white back to technicolor. The NASDAQ is going to go up to 5,000 like it was. The stock market's going to go up to 15,000, 18,000. Home prices are going to continue to accelerate after we get through this terrible, terrible decline in home values. And the tooth fairy is going to come and rip out all your teeth and leave you a bunch of dimes. Now, why wouldn't terrorists just make their plans in Mexico? You know, we're monitoring calls from overseas. Mexico is not over any sea. Mexico is like, you know, South Texas, South Arizona. So what about the terrorists? Why not just make their plans in Mexico and then hop on up here? And, you know, the American wiretaps, you know, we'll be very busy listening to all these phone calls between Buffalo, New York, and London, or between, I don't know what, Charleston, South Carolina, and Zaire. Is it still called Zaire? No, it's the Democratic Republic of Congo, I think. How are these wiretaps going to save us? What if they're making their calls from point of origin to the receiver inside another country, like, oh, I don't know, between Tijuana and Mexico City? What about that? Like, you know, you've got Osama bin Stupid in Tijuana and Sheikh Khalid, I'm going to get you, in Mexico City, and they're talking about, we must go blow bombs, we must go blow bombs. And they're doing it, you know, it's an intra-country call. It's not an inter-country call. It's intra. How? Oh, I don't know. I am just so confused. I don't know what to do except to just reach for the panic button.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, really smart, but I know that you can get a cell phone that's pretty much based anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess they could. I guess that this is allowing them to tap any cell phone conversation that just exists in the air. But, you know, if I have a Mexican cell phone and I'm calling a Chinese cell phone, I could be sitting in the middle of Kansas.
Yeah.
And I would not be using an American telephone number.
Kathy.
Yeah.
You're taking all
I
this.
I hate America. I'm sorry.
You're taking all of this.
I want to see another attack.
No. You're aiding and abetting the terrorists as you sit there and say that.
You're right. I need Mitt Romney back.
You do.
To save me from. I need
Clinton's
to.
Oh, my God.
He needs to get back in the race and quit again so there won't be another attack.
My producer is aiding and abetting terrorists. Hey, NSA. Hey, all you folks that monitor the program. Quick, come and arrest Kathy. She's aiding and abetting the terrorists. She's talking about Chinese phones calling. What did you say? A Chinese phone calling a.
I just said, for example, you can have a Canadian cell phone and a Mexican cell phone. Yeah. You and I can sit here and talk on them,
yeah.
You know, in our living room. And we're not using an American phone number, that not an American cell provider.
Well, don't they just pull all of this out of the ether?
Apparently they must.
Yeah, they just pull it out of the ether.
Well, the first time I ever saw Google Earth and realized you could zero down on your roof, I thought, if I can do that from my crappy little PC in my bedroom, then...
Right. They can come down your chimney.
God only knows what the government can see. Why would they need your phone records?
They don't.
They can watch you come and go from space.
Yeah, the phone records thing is a scam. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do...
They can track your every move.
No. It has nothing to do with granting the telecoms immunity from criminal prosecution or lawsuits. It has to do with conditioning the American public to realizing that corporations can do anything. Corporations have the right of free speech. Corporations cannot be denied their day in court. Corporations, you know, it's a sheath of paper. But corporation, this is just one more step in the corporatization of the United States of America. There is nothing more irritating to a corporation than, as Bush calls it, that goddamn piece of paper that is the Constitution.
Or the fact that they might somehow be sued for something at some point, anytime. So this is sort of like the InfraGuard thing, where the merging of the government and corporations.
Bingo!
So that corporations can kill you if they want.
There you go!
And nobody can prosecute you.
You're not a dumb girl after all. And you're not helping the terrorists. Here. Take this. Here, try this shirt on. You notice it's a nice shade of brown. Here, put this shirt on. There you go.
That creates uncertainty in some. I understand that.
A global world. Damn. 10 before the hour. Hey, don't forget, a week from this Saturday, February 23rd, Scott Ritter and I will be in Phoenix at a gig that's going to be... It's going to be a watershed event in the history of events that have occurred, at KPHX. But anyway, you want to attend this, and you can get ticket information at 1480kphx.com. It's going to be fun, a blowout. Fun? Wrong word. No. Fun is when you go to Disneyland or Disney World. What Scott and I are going to do is not really fun. There's no fun left anymore. Who has fun? What is fun? Used to be fun, you know? Now it's all terror and mortgage payments that have tripled and children have rotten teeth, but there's no dental insurance. Fun? There's no fun? But I digress. Please come by and see Scott and me. We're going to have a good time. It really is going to be fun of a... bizarre, macabre sort, and you can get information at 1480kphx.com. That is a week from this Saturday, February 23rd. Tickets are on sale now. There's still some left. And this also give us a chance, us being the crew at KPHX, our flagship station in Phoenix, to meet you all. I'd love to meet some of the folks who are constantly irritating me with these emails and phone calls. Just kidding. But do come by. Get the information, 1480kphx.com. Scott Ritter and me, Saturday, February 23rd. Stephen is calling from Burbank, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Stephen.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm so confused. Maybe you can help me.
I'll try.
Thank you, nice man. Every time I hear or read the word immunity, there were two other words that followed called states evidence. And I hear portfolio thumpers yakking about all these big shot executives. They're worth all that money. Lee Raymond is worth $44 million, you know.
Absolutely.
But how about these million-dollar executives, you know? They didn't do anything to cover their little heinies. I mean, where are the missing emails for the National Archives?
That's true. There should be all of this stuff, but we'll never know. We'll never know, Stephen.
Well, yeah, maybe they need that immunity to quit paying off the guy that does have it, you know?
That could very well be. That's a good possibility. You got any more?
Well, can I offer a little bit of advice?
As long as it's not scatological.
It's nice.
Okay, all right.
If Sanchez from Montebello calls up again,
yeah.
you got to let that boy boogie.
I got to let him boogie?
He's good.
Yeah, I like Sanchez.
He's good.
He sends me a lot of emails. He uses too many capitals letters when he sends me emails, but that's all right. He's still.
Yeah, he has Joe Lieberman's old crystal ball. He traces it with the serial numbers, the political crystal ball.
How's everything in Burbank?
As good as it gets.
Yeah, I spent a month there one night. That's a strange city.
Yeah, I could throw a stone twice and hit KTLK where Stephanie Miller hangs out. I think I even saw her once coming home.
Don't you just love Stephanie Miller?
Oh, she's great, but we're all in trouble because I had my picture taken with her,
yeah.
and I also introduced my mother to Charles Manson, another well-known terrorist. I mean, I was in jail for kid stuff, you know, and he was there at the same time. I'm an old codger.
Yeah?
And I've been on their hit list with an S since 1968 when I sent a little essay to Reader's Digest calling for social justice. So I'm on their list. And,
oh, God. All right. Well, listen, Stephen, it's just a slice of heaven talking to you. we'll chat again. Thanks, Stephen. There you go. Ray is calling from someplace in Minnesota listening on KTNF. Is that right, Ray?
Yes, sir. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. Where at in Minnesota, Ray?
Oakdale. I called you a couple weeks ago. I'm the guy who gave out the email, and I got a very nice response.
Oh, good.
From a young woman named Kari, and I kind of hope she responds again.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What are we talking about here?
Well, I was the person who, I am the person who is founder and director of Kalpuli Turtle Island Multiversity.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah, the crazy one.
Yeah, the crazy man.
But very quickly, Michael, for the edification of all, I strongly recommend Naomi Wolf's The End of America. If you haven't read it yet, it ought to be required reading in every basic civics class and every law class in this country.
And for that very reason, it won't be. You know, I haven't read it yet. I'm derelict. I have not been reading. I have been wandering around in the woods behind my house, bumping into trees.
Smart man.
And feeling depressed and you know, ready to tell people I'm going to vote for Barack Obama and really go vote for Hillary, or tell people I'm going to vote for Hillary and really go vote for Barack Obama, or tell people I'm going to vote for one or the other and not do either. I'm lost.
Hey,
Ray.
Michael.
Yeah.
How about Cynthia McKinney?
No, she has as much chance of being.
I know. I met her, by the way. What a wonderful woman! You guys are so lucky to have her.
Well, used to have her. She's gone now. She got replaced by the
PhD.
Powers that be. Yeah. Huh?
She's getting her PhD now and trying to run for president.
Well, that's
no thanks
good.
To the media.
I always believe in higher education.
Absolutely.
No, I'm just a lost soul, Ray. I'm kind of wandering around in a landscape that I didn't construct, and that's why I head for the trees. I always head for the trees. It goes way back to the drug days when I used to sit among the trees and listen to them chat and talk. You know, they do talk. And if you're tuned in, more or less, you can hear them. But I haven't heard them lately. Break here. We'll be back. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Story in your eyes.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in, hanging around. Getting together here every night around this microwave campfire where we try to hold on to a few shreds of sanity, whatever's left. Mike writes, cell phone traffic goes from microwave tower to microwave tower to landline to satellite to a tin can on a string. Doesn't matter. What this means is that everywhere a signal goes microwave out in the air, it travels in a straight line. And that means that some of it goes out into space where rhyolite-class satellites run by the National Security Agency, or the evolutionary equivalent of such satellites, such as Vortex and Magnum, which are shaped like huge umbrellas, picks up the signal, encrypts it, downloads it to Alice Springs, Australia, which then uploads it to a dedicated transfer satellite, which sends the encrypted signals to Fort Meade for analysis. Doesn't matter where that cell phone or its provider is located, every sensible person knows that no matter what the intended original purpose of the high technology might have been, it can always be turned against a country's own citizens if the government so desires. Just like the barrel of a tank. Michael in Roswell, New Mexico. You people are way smarter than me. I kind of understand what he's saying, but back to your phone calls. Danny is calling from Gulf Shores, Alabama, listening on Sirius. Hey, Danny.
Hello, Mike. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Thank you for taking my call. You're one of the few reasons I keep my subscription to the Sirius satellite radio.
Well, that's good. Hey, you know what we here in Atlanta call your part of Alabama?
What is that?
We call it L.A.
Yes, L.A. is also known as the Redneck Riviera.
Redneck Riviera is good, too, but, I don't want to get my ass beat, so I just call it L.A.
No, actually, they call that. The utility company that I pay my electric bill to is called the Riviera Utilities, which is a takeoff of that. This is the reddest. Alabama's a red state, and this is the reddest of the red areas.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. But anyway, for people who don't know, L.A. just means Lower Alabama.
Lower Alabama, yes.
That's not why you called. Hi, Danny.
Hello, Mike. How are you, sir? Start over again
all
here.
Right, a
couple of quick things. One thing is I saw our, this is not news, but I saw our president on the one of the Sunday morning news things. I think it might have been Fox or could have been any of them. But when he was asked about the waterboarding situation, his eyes just lighted up like a kid on Christmas morning, and that old spurt returned, and it's like he was just so happy to discuss this. And tonight it was just make your skin crawl.
I know. When he talks about economic issues or the tragedy that hit the Mississippi Gulf Coast or whatever, his eyes kind of glaze over. But let this sucker talk about war and calculated death and destruction and waterboarding and torture and stuff like that, and he just gets into it.
Yes, he does. Yes,
he gets
does.
Happy. He does get happy. I've read enough. I haven't read the whole book, but I read enough of Bush on the Couch, and I had the author on. And this man is absolutely clinically insane.
Out to lunch, yes, as we say here in Lower Alabama.
Yeah. Is that what y'all say? Out to lunch.
And yes,
hold on. Let me write that down.
Yeah, out to lunch.
How you spell lunch?
L-U-N-C-H.
I got it.
Right.
Lunch. Yeah, I got it.
Depends on where you put your.
Yeah, that's true.
Syllabic thing.
Yeah,
I
where
guess.
You put the accent on the wrong syllable and you're in trouble.
Right, syllables and your.
All right. Go ahead. Something else.
The other thing, quickly, is that we don't have to be too worried about terrorists because this is all news, but. At the Republican National Convention, Mr. Giuliani, at the closing of his speech, said, "You're either with the terrorists, you're either with us, or you're with the terrorists," which reduces all of us, whatever percentage of the country we are, to being terrorists. And as terrorists, I think that we should adopt something from the Republicans here that the even if we can't, even we need to get a Democrat in office, no matter who it is, so that we can, if nothing else, if we can't get health care, if we can't save the economy, if nothing else, just for the heck of it, or the hell of it, if you can say hell on the radio, throw it right back at them. All the swift boating, kick them in the teeth, throw it right back in, you know, in in there, and just have some fun for a while and quit being so sweet, you know.
I hear you.
Anyway, that's all I got to say tonight, sir. I appreciate you taking my call. And
Well, thanks, Dan.
The lady Kathy that called earlier in your show, I'm in love with her. I love her. You know?
A woman named Kathy called earlier?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You are? Well, it
Yeah. Tell her 205-243-5606.
No. Don't give your phone number over the air, Danny, because you will
get. Thank you for taking my call, Mike. And I love your show. And later, my friend.
All right. Take care, Danny. Take care. We used to talk about how, they can hear us in L.A. before we got KTLK. They can hear us in L.A. But we were talking about something entirely different. Teresa is calling from Dallas, Texas, listening on 1360 KMNY. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Mike. We sure missed you here.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, 1360 AM. I haven't memorized here.
Well, that's good.
The main reason I'm calling is I would like for you to promote my gal Hillary some more, because I think she's super intelligent and she'd make the best president, I do believe.
You do?
Well,
yes. You don't think Barack Obama would be a good one?
No, I think he's all hype and no substance.
All hat and no cattle?
That's right. Just like, and he doesn't get any scrutiny from the press. And remember our present president here.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't gotten any scrutiny when he ran either, you know. And he was promising all sorts of things, you know.
That's true. He got absolutely a free pass.
Free pass. And I think Barack is getting a free pass. They're coddling him.
You think so?
Absolutely. And I think it's a conspiracy, Mike. I think the Republicans are behind promoting him.
Well, you're not the only one who thinks that. There's a lot of pundits out there who write for really important publications who are saying essentially, Teresa, the same thing, that that the Republicans don't want Hillary because Hillary will, pardon the expression, kick their butts, and Barack would be a little bit easier on him. And you know, I just look at it the other way. I think Hillary.
Well, no, but they want you to look at it the other way. They're promoting it the other way, like he'd be easier. You know, Hillary would be easier to win against, you know, than Barack would be. You know, that's the Karl Rove psychology.
It's just gotten so confusing.
But they don't fool me.
Thank God somebody's not fooled. I mean, I'm glad to hear that, Teresa.
No, I think Hillary is just brilliant.
All right.
I think people just don't give her. You know, the right-wingers have just sullied her so much within the last many years that people cannot see the intelligence that she has and how compassionate she is. And she would be a great, great president, I believe.
Well, you get no argument from me that the right-wing crazies, in this country spent 8 years trying to emotionally and psychologically assassinate both Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and they're both so smart, don't you think?
I think they are smart. I think both of them are smart. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, they're very compassionate, too, I do believe. But anyway, I think this Barack deal. Oh, before I forget, did you know that Barack was campaigning against Ned Lamont? Ned Lamont, remember him from Connecticut?
Yeah, because he was...
He was campaigning for...
Lieberman.
Joe Lieberman.
Yeah. Well, that's not a good thing. Teresa, I got to leave there. Thank you, dear heart.
Thank you.
All right. I hope to hear from you again. Don't be a stranger now that we're back on the electric radio down there in Dallas. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I've got to go by what he told me. Try to tell the truth and stand your ground.
From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It just goes on forever and ever, doesn't it? Here we go.
There's a leafless tree in Asia. Under the sun, there's a homeless man.
For all you Moody Blues fans out there, Robert in Milwaukee writes the subject line: McCain, rule of law, and telecom immunity. He writes in his February 5th Super Tuesday victory rally address, John McCain speaks of his commitment to the rule of law. Quote, I'm a Republican because, like you, I believe government must respect our values because they are the true source of our strength and enforce the rule of law, which is the first defense of freedom. End quote. His vote on immunity for telecoms demonstrates his contempt for rule of law. Robert in Milwaukee. Yeah, it's just infuriating to listen to Republican politicians and not a few Democratic politicians who, you know, talk the talk and then display their hypocrisy for the whole world to see, if anyone's paying attention. Back to your phone calls. Charles is calling from Cambridge, Mass., listening on the Internet. Hey, Charles.
Great show tonight, Mike.
Well, thank you.
I have to tell you, I was thrilled when the Democrats took the House and the Senate, but I am absolutely shocked that even though they're in the majority, once again, they fall to their knees and basically do Bush's bidding. And it's incomprehensible to me.
Me too. I listen to suggestions as to the reasons why. Some people say they're afraid of Bush. Eh. Some people say they're afraid that, you know, they've been blackmailed. Eh. Some people say they really don't care. They're just Republican light. Some people say it's all part of preparing the American public. Doesn't make any difference if they're Democrats or Republicans. They get their money from the same poisoned well, and that's corporate America. So it's just preparing Americans to accept the inevitable. So I don't know anymore. I honestly don't know anymore. Good candidates that are not selected by media for exposure usually fall by the wayside, and media are part of that corporate structure. So, I don't know anymore, Charles. Do you?
Well, I would assume when they were elected, they took an oath to uphold the Constitution. I think they've forgotten all about that. And there's a key quote. I think it was either Ben Franklin or John Adams who said, "Those who would sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither, and will lose both." And this is an important lesson. I think they're completely forgetting.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Yeah.
We can't just give away our civil liberties. It's insane. One other thing. Keith Olbermann has a great piece up right now, and he basically equated the relationship Bush has with the corporations as being textbook fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And
he borrowed that from me, by the way, but that's all right.
I think so. I think you're absolutely right about that. But
yeah, it's okay.
I think that's a direction that we're going. I hope to God. I mean, we don't go that far. But just the contempt that these
Well, Charles, I think you're right. I think Olbermann's right. I think anyone who's able to put together coherent thoughts any longer about mm-hmm. the direction of the country is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are shifting from country to company. We are shifting from Articles of Confederation to corporate minutes of meetings. We're shifting from the Constitution to something filed by corporate lawyers and put away in a
in a safe somewhere. We are drifting to the Mussolini-style corporatism on the one hand. On the other hand, the bureaucracy in this country is becoming more like the Soviet model. So,
and
the Soviet system was nothing but fascism. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's communism. No, it was fascism. I can't think of any place where communism has really been put to work without interference from outside forces. Even Cuba, where had that government been allowed to thrive over the past 50 or 60 years, there's no telling how advanced that country might be. But because it was communist at the outset after the revolution, it was isolated. Everybody's afraid of communism, but really, if somebody would show me a model where real communism, the theoretical type, has been tried and applied, I'd like to know what country it is. Usually, those countries that say they're communist are really fascist. It's just state control of everything, and so.
Absolutely. And if you were to corner a Republican who is very critical of socialism and communism, and just ask them to basically define that system of government and ideology, guaranteed they would not be able to do so.
Well, one word they would throw in immediately would be godless.
Oh yeah. Well, I've encountered my fair share of Republicans who think the only way to have freedom is through Jesus. You know,
that's a lot of people think that way. Charles, thank you.
Hey, great show.
All right, man. Appreciate you checking in. Okay. Take care. We'll talk again. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I believe that it's very important for people to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
I got an email here from Al in Rochester, New York. Mike, did communism work in Cuba? You might want to give a call to your friend and mine, Peter Werby. He just returned from a trip there. Tell your listeners to catch his show, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday night. He's going to have his producer interview him about the trip. It should be one of his best. You can catch Werby's show, and you should. Sunday night, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, go to WRIF, like Frank, WRIF.com. That's the call letters. RIF. WRIF. Like Frank.com. Write it down. Werby has a good show. He's on every Sunday night. That's all he does now, Sunday night. And he occasionally substitutes either here or other programs. But I knew he had made the trip to Cuba. I knew he was going. His tales about what he discovered down there should be very interesting. WRIF.com. This Sunday night, 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Write it down. Are you writing? Well, good. Okay. Back to your phone calls. Archie is calling from Duxbury, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius. Hello, Archie.
Hi, Mr. Malloy. First of all, a fantastic show. I wait literally every night to listen to your show.
Well, that's very,
very
kind.
Very,
thank you.
Very informative, and also, very, there's a lot of fun, a lot of comedic stuff. But the main reason why I called tonight, it might have been maybe 6-7 weeks ago. You did a narrative depicting the events when we, when we would invade Iran, and I thought it was so surreal. Is there any way of getting a copy of that? I guess it was done by it was issued by a military personnel.
Yeah, I don't know where I have that now. Here's the thing. The network, Nova M, our technical director, Billy, is building our new website. And once we get that up, when we have something like that, we will immediately link to it or post it so that people can get it. I get lots of requests for some of the stuff we have on this program. And if I get the request within 24 or 48 hours, I can usually, come up with it because it's still here in the studio or I've still got it on my email or whatever. But something that old, I know what you're talking about, and it was a good one.
It was surreal.
Yeah, it was what will happen on the day that the United States and Israel invades Iran. And it was like a blow-by-blow, moment-to-moment report of what was being bombed, what was being hit, how many casualties, yada, yada. And I just don't have any more. If somebody's listening and still has that or link to it, if they want to send it, I would appreciate it. And then what you have to do, Archie, is send me a request and sign Archie, and I'll send you the link.
Okay, fantastic.
So just email me something. And if I get it, if somebody will send it to me, I will certainly pass it on to you. Because that was a real chiller. It really was.
It really was.
Yeah.
And, of course, you did a good job delivering it, too. You have to have the right person, doing the narrative or it doesn't have the effect.
Yeah, that's true. You can't read it like you're reading a recipe for macaroni and cheese, right?
Exactly. But, again, I just want to commend you on the fantastic show that you put on in I look forward to tomorrow.
All right. Well, thanks, Archie. Take care. Take care.
All right. Take care now.
All right. We'll talk again. That was nice of him to say that. Yeah, remember what that... Yeah, you remember that, Kathy. When the attack was finally launched against Iran, and it was like an hour-to-hour real-time report of what was happening. And it was one of the scarier things we've had on this program. Brentley is calling from Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Is it Brentley?
That's right.
Hey, Brentley, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Right on. Hey, man, I've got a question.
Sure.
I've been doing this with somebody. Okay, so if this, why wouldn't two candidates? I'm talking about Democratic candidates.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe this be. Oh, we just don't do things that way. But if it's really, truly about change,
yeah.
And I go through life every day, I'm doing fine. But I overhear conversations numerous times each day that have to do with people just trying to have a little chunk of the dream.
hey, Brantley.
Yeah.
Your phone is doing weird stuff, man. It's like stretching out syllables, and let me put you on hold.
Okay.
We'll put you on hold, and our producer, our what is he? Ian will pick up and see if he can straighten that out. And then we'll come back to you, Brantley. If just your phone was acting really weird, that's because the National Security Agency is screwing with you, man, or us, somebody. Steve is calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Steve.
Mike, hi.
Hi.
I want you to know that you matter, okay? You really do.
Well, so do you.
Well, thanks. Not as much as you, though.
Oh, that's bat squeeze.
You know, I'm curious to know, I mean... Burton and that righteous indignation, Dan Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he do a preemptive admission of his own adultery?
Dan Burton has done lots of things. He shot up a watermelon one time in order. What was he trying to prove, Kathy? What was that all about? Dan Burton is one of the many certifiably wacko Republicans in the U.S. House, and Indiana, you have to consider. Now, we have a lot of listeners in Indiana, and I certainly have respect for them, but Indiana as a political entity is just a rat's nest of right-wing radicalism and Klan activity and skinheads. Indiana is an insane state, kind of like Georgia here. But Dan Burton, he was coughed up like a hairball like a cat coughing up a hairball by the voters in his district, and they like him. They like him, even when his kid got involved in a drug smuggling ring and two or three times, and even when Dan prevailed upon the Justice Department not to prosecute, just on and on and on. This guy is a real piece of work, a real criminal, a real slug. And every time I hear him talking about anything that has to do with rule of law or proper behavior or how he's pissed off or shocked, I tell you, because there sits Roger Clemens with needles sticking out of his arms. You know, I just want to start smashing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Mike, beside the goofy statement from Eleanor Holmes Norton, after the Clemens hearing today, there was a bit of a press conference. Waxman standing there, and the camera had a wide shot, and Daryl Issa was standing right behind him, rolling his eyes. I mean, these guys are all creeps.
Well, yeah, I know.
But I thought it was really interesting because with everything else that's going on, that's where the focus is, and that's what they want. This government always wants something else, a dead woman, you know, a missing child, whatever it is, it takes everybody's attention, and it's with the help of the media. It's really awful.
It is. All right, man. Where do you live in PA?
Right near Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good to hear from you, Steve.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care. Take care. We'll talk again. All right. Spitfire sent me the link. If the guy who called in about the, it's titled Day One, The War with Iran, and it's at Jeff Rentz's, I think his first name is Jeff Rentz, website. It's Rentz, R-E-N-S-E, R-E-N-S-E .com, Rentz.com. And then just do a search for something titled Day One, The War with Iran. And so here it is, Rentz.com. Rense.com, and then search the site for Day One, The War with Iran. All right, now this time I'm going to save it. and thanks a lot, Spitfire. I appreciate that. It's a scary piece. It really is, because it is so real, and if you get a chance, check it out. Rentz.com, R-E-N-S-E, Rentz.com, Day One, The War with Iran. We got a break here? Pretty quick. Jen is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jen.
Hi, Mike. Oh, my God. You know, I think we've all been duped. I think that this joke of so-called deciding who's going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party and who's going to be the Republican, they're all the same. We live in a country now where the only people that go to jail for crimes are regular people like us, but the president with all of his cronies, and I'm talking about the House and the Senate, they're all in it together, and it's just, I'm ready to pack up what little I have and just leave this country. It's just, it's too much. It really is.
I know. I understand that frustration, Jen, and there's certainly reason for feeling that way. And I think one of the reasons we feel that way is that no matter who we are in this country, even people who have normally been kicked around a bit, whether it's gay folk or people of color or poor people or the working class, even those of us in one of those groups, we still have lived in a country up until the last 10, 15 years that was, for the most part, had to do with freedom and liberty, and you could kind of make it on your own or make it with your friends or what have you. And all that's changed, and all of a sudden you don't have to be a so-called minority. You don't have to be working class. You don't have to be poor. You can just be a regular person, and your life is in jeopardy now. So I know what you're talking about. I know.
And I mean, this falsehood of everybody now on the side of Obama, and they all of a sudden love us because I'm African American, and I just love when you tell the truth of how we're treated, especially in New Orleans. And I just don't see it that all of a sudden you love us. Not you. I mean,
I know.
Nothing like that. But
we're gonna talk about that at some point on this program because that's a very interesting topic. Jen, I got to leave you there. We got a break. Thanks, Jen. Stay in touch. We'll be right back.
Who's benefiting the most from this mayhem? The Constitution lays bloody in the devil's den, while fragments of freedom are being tossed in the wind. Genocide continues to be an American trend. Let me live how I want to live.
Wednesday at 3, there was an email from me saying, hey, baby, do a program with me. Thursday at 4, he came a knocking at my door singing, hey, baby, I'm the internet man. You tell me how you bought it and I'll load it in your RAM. Plug it in the morning, keep it in all day long. You'll never need a floppy with a hard drive on. I can activate your mouse, I can amplify your hey, baby, I'm the internet man. You believe that? And then he says,
God, I think I'm in love.
No other fellas call you. Just say I got you jammed. Can you imagine?
8 minutes before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight. Also answered your calls. Billy Foster, our technical director. Ben Birch is the podcast manager of this program and many more, as a matter of fact. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher. Bridget Wolf is our writer in residence, although she doesn't live here. Valentine's show tomorrow, Truth Seekers. You've never experienced a Malloy Valentine show? And don't forget, meet me and Scott Ritter Saturday, February 23rd in Phoenix, courtesy of KPHX and the Nova M Radio Network. Go to their website, 1480kphx.com, and get a ticket. I want to meet some of you people. I haven't been out there. When was I out there last time, Kathy? About a year and a half ago. When was it? It's over a year ago.
Was that when I had laryngitis and you left me with the child and I couldn't talk to her?
It was.
That was awful.
I know. I'm sorry. I just.
At least this time you're only going over our wedding anniversary.
That's true. Well, when duty calls, you know.
The priorities.
That's right, priorities. Back to your phone calls. Bill is calling from Portland, listening on KPOJ. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
I'm curious, you know, every one of our representatives, senators, everybody agreed to protect, defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And right. Yet, not only are they not protecting and defending it, they're actually passing legislation. I refuse to call them laws.
Right.
We're actually passing legislation sanctioning constitutional violations. Is it or is it not time for these people to be removed for cause? Now,
well, sure.
I understand Title 18 says we can't advocate violent removal, but it's perfectly permissible to advocate removal. And I think Americans need to start standing up in mass and saying, get out.
I wish we would. I wish 2 million people would surround the Capitol building in D.C. and another million surround the White House, and maybe another million surround the Supreme Court, and then another couple of million surround the Pentagon. Oh my God, I'm out of people, and just demand that this stop. But especially the legislators who, as you point out, and the executive branch and the Supreme Court and the military, they're all sworn to basically the same oath to protect and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And you're absolutely right. Then these rat bastards go into Congress and do what they can to utterly, absolutely destroy the Constitution. Nice work if you can get it, huh?
Right. And my question is this not a form of treason? I mean,
it seems to me, yeah, seems to me it is.
So why aren't we calling for these people's removal? I just don't understand. And the funny thing is, if you talk to 10 people, 8 of them will agree with me. So why isn't this the message we're hearing on the mainstream media? Oh, that's right. They're
bought and paid for. Right. Come on. Don't ask that kind of a question, Bill. You're doing fine until you say, well, why aren't we hearing about this on mainstream media?
No, we're not hearing about about it on the main street. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's my two cents. I'm so disgusted. But one other thing that's very important, please, please, anytime someone says Congress passed a law or the president signed a law, you know what? If it's unconstitutional, it's null and void on its face. It's not a law. It's just unconstitutional legislation signed by the president, but still unconstitutional legislation. It's not given any credibility.
I hear you. Bill, thanks. Got to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in. And yet, in instance after instance, it seems to me, over the past several years, the right-wing neo-fascist or neocon Supreme Court has declared laws that on the face appear to be unconstitutional to uneducated folks like me. And yet the Supreme Court goes on and says, no, the decision by the lower court will stand because it is constitutional. And I look at that sometimes and I think, gee, it's a damn good thing my old high school civics instructor is not still alive. He would be very upset.
I'm sure Alito and Seizure Boy, what's his name?
Roberts.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll put it right.
Sammy the Fish Alito. We never hear anything about him anymore, do we? Remember when he was going up for confirmation and Roberts and all the Democrats were in the Senate were saying, no. And there they are. Or they were saying, well, we're going to let this one go through. And then when something really important comes up that Bush tries to run past us, then we'll resist.
I'm sure we'd hear more about Alito, but people are afraid that he'll, you know, shoot you in the face or something.
Alito? Oh, Sammy the Fish.
Yeah, go hunting with Cheney.
Oh, that's true.
Never come back.
Thanks for participating tonight in the program, folks. However you did that, I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, Valentine's tomorrow, so come prepared. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.